If you don't mind, I would love to bring in somebody that relates to this particular situation and can relate to
Yeah.
Jawara. If you give me 1 second, I would like to introduce you to somebody who was a very good friend. And I guess you could say, like, they were like two kids. There was a playmate. I'll be right back. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I told Bodhi about this is Bodhi, Bodhi Tosh. This is my son, and this is who. This
Hi.
is Niambi. This
How
is
are you? Good.
Tosh One's sister, and Peter's daughter, and these two guys, Niambi, if you couldn't tell, were like peas in a pod. They, when Jawara and this guy got together, there were like two kids, and they just were. You know, Jawara was so full of life, and you know, he had a couple of different sides to him, and there was this like childlike mannerisms to him that just, you know, lit up the room. And you know, obviously Bodhi was named after your father, but then when he met Jawara, they really hit it off. And I just wanted you to see and maybe get, you know, maybe one day we'll do this in person, but I just wanted to. And maybe Bodhi, you can share one of your favorite stories with her if you have one.
I mean, it was years ago, so I don't really remember much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to introduce you to, just so you guys,
Yeah.
you know, it was you know, Jawara was that bond for all of us
Yeah.
right here. Through your father. So
Definitely.
thank you, Bodhi. Say goodbye.
Well, thank you, Bodhi. Pleasure to
Bye.
meet you. Bye.
Bodhi, close the door. All right. Thank you. I wanted to do that. I wanted to introduce him to you. So
Thank you.
you
Thank
know, it
you. It
was
was a pleasure to meet him.
yeah, you know, I it was you know, I met Jawara at a stage show that was happening. It was I think it was Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend. It was an annual thing in West Palm Beach called the Palm Beach Jerk Fest. And I overheard somebody say, yeah, that's Tasha's son. I'm like, where? I'm like, who? Wait. And so I like immediately went over and introduced myself, but that's how that all happened. And you know, we shared a lot together. And so, you know, that's kind of, you know, Jawara, we became very tight, and it was just such an honor to meet him and share the time with him. I wanted to share that with you and a little bit of it with the audience because it meant so much to us. You know what I mean? I mean, he literally, he li Jawara, Bodhi literally gave Jawara his bedroom, and Bodhi slept in this room. This is my bedroom that we're in right now. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to, you know, show you that there is a lot of light still being passed on. And you know, so anyway, I'm glad to hear that, you know, especially that Jawara's music is coming out, because he and I talked a lot about music, and we even talked about, you know, doing some productions and stuff, because you know, I do some productions, and you know, and then you know, he was always on the phone with Brian, the attorney, and talking about, you know, opportunities, and there was so much stuff that was like in the making, you know what I mean? And
Yeah, Brian, he's the manager of Brian Latour, the manager of the state. Yeah, and so there was a lot in the making. It was definitely a really cool time to see him blossom and do his thing. And I'm so glad that we do have the music that allows him to continue to live on and inspire more people.
You know, wait, just, you know, because that's obviously a big thing for me is the music. You know, that's really for me, at the end of the day, my life is very much dedicated to the music, okay? And so I'm obviously very curious and would love to know any more that you can tell us about his music. If thing, you know, if there is there a timeline, is there stuff coming, is there an album, whatever you can give us, we'll take.
Yeah, I definitely will share as it comes. Right now, still very fresh, you know, and so it's going through the archive and finding the right partners to really to make something happen in a way that gives true light, and power to his music. So
yeah,
it's coming, but it's going to definitely take a little bit of time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I would expect that. Just in your own words, how would you kind of describe his vibe, his energy and music as one? How would you kind of, if somebody, you know, obviously it's so hard to put music into words, but in your best description, how would you say Jawara Tosh One? Because he's really, as an artist, he's known as Tosh One.
Yeah.
How would you describe his music?
He was very, you know, his music's very versatile. He was multi-talented. We grew up listening to hip hop. We have a really close cousin of ours that, you know, would bring mixtapes from New York and be like, you know, DJ SNS and Ron G, and we would listen to these mixtapes. And so I would beatbox and he would freestyle, walk into school. and so that's, you know, that was very much where his first love of music, you know, was. And so it was amazing when we met Winston, a friend, I don't remember his last, Winston Harrison, I want to say, was a friend of my dad's, was in Boston, mm-hmm. and coincidentally went into a Kinko's and saw this guy with a Peter Tosh t-shirt on and was like, oh, I know that guy. I know that family. And the guy with the t-shirt on was like, I know that family too. And ended up connecting us and literally met Jawara, saw that he was into music and just was like, you're going to do reggae and you're going to go perform. Like, Within a month's time, he had taken Jawara, threw him on stage. And when I heard my brother sing for the first time, and this is when he was maybe 21, 22, I got goosebumps. You know, he sounded just like my father. And I feel like he gave me the gift to be able to see something that I never got to see as a child. You know, my father passed away when I was only 5 years old. Right. And so he has such a strong, strong presence, you know, and he demands your attention. You can't run from it. You know, if he's in a room, all eyes are on him. There's no, I just got to sit back and take it in. You know, you can't compete with that type of energy.
No, I totally agree. And
yeah,
so we were hanging out a lot, and, you know, I was doing this weekly Reggae Sundays down here, which, you know, we still continue to do. And, you know, he was just like, yo, he was vibing, you know, he was like really feeling the vibes. And he's like, yo, give me the mic. I'm like, all you know, what do you know? He's just like, give me something, you know? And he just started like, you know, we have a, you know, he just kind of came and started doing a freestyle performance and just started, and like crowd was going crazy, you know? And then there was a band, because he kind of went on like shortly after the band, and the band was breaking down, and they're like, yo, can we play? And he's like, yeah, come on. And the band started playing, like, you know, the bass, like
oh, it was wow. a rhythm
band, and they started playing yeah. live over it. And then we cut the rhythm and the band went into it. And it was just like, oh my God, it was mayhem. It was, oh my God, it was such a special moment. Oh, you know? Wow. So it's yeah. like, it was so nice, you know, and it seemed to me that he kind of definitely incorporated that hip hop sound into his newer sound with the reggae. And, you know, and I remember hearing him do one of his father's songs, and he kind of changed the lyrics up a little bit too. Like, he used his father's song in the chorus and melody, but then kind of had his own lyrics, you know, and there was a lot of that going on. Cause I remember him talking about maybe they were going to do some sort of album like that, a tribute, but he was going to have his, I don't know, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on, but who knows what's going to happen, you know, but it's just, such a shame, because I mean, I just see that light in him and just wanted that to like come to fruition, you know what I mean? And so I'm dying to hear some stuff, dying, you know, and like most yeah. people don't even know that side of him, you know, and I was definitely very grateful to meet that, you know, and which kind of leads me into like, did it start with, you know, you said you guys were going to school, you were beatboxing, he would be rapping. What did that initially turn into? Or where else did you guys, because I know for a fact that there was another side of you guys in the music business that,
yes,
you know what I mean? So I don't really want to spill the beans. I would rather you talk, maybe give us a little history and say, because I know you two were like sparring partners too, you know, and you guys were like musical, you know, partners. So, you know, and I don't think a lot of people know this about you, you know, especially the newer generation, you know what I mean? So maybe you can kind of take us down that road.
Oh, definitely. We had a sound system together, which I actually started. We always loved music. Like growing up, we listened to everything, you know, all types of music, and could appreciate all types of music. And then I had a boyfriend that was a DJ. And so I was introduced to the turntables. And when I first saw them, it was like, oh my gosh, I can control what I listen to. I could create my own vibe. I literally was on the turntables, I think, for like hours my first time. It was divine, you know? And yeah. So then when I told my mom, she just supported, she just got all the equipment for me. And then my brother, he's always been the talker. I've been the quiet one. I was the little quiet sister that could just watch him talk all the time. And so it just naturally fell in where I was the selector and he was, you know, the mic man. Yeah. And so we played in a lot of places, actually, you know, getting dub plates from different musicians, and played in Boston, we played in New York, we played in Jamaica, I think it was Amazora, the first actual nightclub in Kingston, Jamaica, or it was Amazora, New York, I may have mixed them all up, but in Florida, Connecticut, yeah. And our sound system was named Step and Raise the Sound, and I was Lady Tosh, she was Ja Tosh. I'm like a stepping raise, watch out the size, I'm dangerous, I'm so dangerous. I'm like a stepping raise, don't watch my size, I'm dangerous, dangerous. We always have had that connection to our father's spirit, and would often kind of lead with creation from my dad, and then just take people on a musical journey from there. Jah is my king.
Jah is my guide in my resting and my rising. So whom shall I fear? He's my guide when I step out in the forward in. So whom shall I be afraid? Yeah, that's definitely a heavy, heavy tune for sure. One of his heavier ones. Talk us through some of your fondest memories with Steppy Razor and Ja Tosh. But didn't he change his name later to Tosh One, right?
Yeah, once I actually became an engineer out of college, and that's when things kind of slowed down with the sound system. Okay. Ended up just working a 9-to-5. And so there was kind of a moment where it kind of died down. And like I said, that's when shortly after that, he met, you know, Winston and then developed his musical identity, because that's when he actually started performing. He was always like freestyling with, you know, with friends and writing music. He was always writing, a really good composer of music. And then Tosh One came along a little bit, you know, later, and then he formed like his identity as a performer.
All right. Well, let's back up a little bit. Excuse me. Let's back up a little bit and talk a little bit some of your favorite times with Stepping Razor and Jata.
Yeah. I remember I think one of my favorite times was us going. We went to Jamaica, carried our set down there. We really didn't have any date booked, but we were aware of the first nightclub that had opened in Jamaica. And my mom has always been this bulldog. This is actually how we played at a lot of places. She just was like, you know, she would first of all just get us into the venue, and then she just, I don't know how she did it, but she would always get us on stage. We would be like, look, Pina Tosh's children are here and they're going to play. And so, and it was, I was always amazed, you know, that she, cause she has always been our number one supporter, you know, in anything that we want to do. And she, we were, you know, we got to play at, you know, the first nightclub in Kingston, and that was so, so cool. And the vibe that was there and the support, and, you know, people always underestimated us. We were pretty young, you know, early, I would probably like late teens, early 20s, but I would draw for some tunes that, you know, some Ken Booth and some Delroy Wilson and, you know, the Heptones. And so people were like, what?
Yeah.
So it was a really, really great time. And he's really gifted. So, you know, I would be like, you know, tell him I'm going to play this tune, let, you know, say, you know, give him a vibe like this, and he just take it and, you know, run with it. And we just had this really cool connection where we would work really well together.
Nice. Like, you know, back then it was always like, you know, the sound cassettes, you know, or tapes from the dance or tapes from the session, or are any of those around archived anywhere?
My mom has a lot of them. And so one of our projects, my mother was also a reggae promoter so she would bring a lot of artists to Boston. And so she has tons, and she would save a lot of our stuff. So I don't have it, but she's like, I got that Stepping Razor CD that time when we went to here, or, you know, and then we would just create mixes, you know, just at the house. We would often create a lot of mixes at the house. Yeah, we have some good ones.
Speaking of your mother, isn't that kind of how she met your father? Isn't that the story?
It was before.
Okay.
She met my father before she was a promoter. She just met him, you know, in Boston at a concert. And,
that's what it was.
And then she ended up, you know, eventually, like, she was like, no, you're a musician. But then he was persistent, you know, he was persistent, and she followed through and ended up moving to Jamaica.
Yeah.
And living there for a while and having my brother and I, you know, and so.
And then Go ahead.
Yeah. And that's when she was more so became interested in the concert.
Okay. Well, I kind of knew it was something like that. Jawara had shared that with me at one point, and I knew. Yeah, I guess I confused that it was actually at a show, but I thought it was, you know, maybe hers or whatever. But so you guys were then born in Jamaica, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And you grew up there, and you were there till you were five?
Yeah, I want to say like 3, 4.
Okay.
And then my father passed when I was 5. So it was more like 3.
And
moved to Boston.
And what's the age difference between you and Jawara? It's like
just a year and a half. So he was like 5 when we moved back to Boston.
So you probably have very few memories then, correct?
Correct. Very, very few memories.
Would you like to share any of those with us?
You know, a lot of my memories are tied to the stories of, you know, family members that I've heard, where then you start to kind of make them your own. You know, my mom actually, when she moved, she didn't know that my father had 8 other children until we got there, because there's 10 of us, actually. But she, you know, she comes from a family where family is family, you know, whatever it is. And so we lived with my brother Andrew and Dave, or they lived with us for a while. And so, you know, there's a story where Andrew and Dave had my brother up in Red Hills. And anybody that knows anything about Jamaica and their hills, Red Hills is one of the, like, it's a winding road, you know, up to the top of a hill with a beautiful view. And they would put Jawar in a go-kart. And he was, you know, 2-3 years old. And they would be, and let him go. And he would just, just freestyle all the way down. And so, yeah. Wow. It was some very fun times, I would say.
Well, nice.
But I was the little sister, so they just, you know, protected me.
Yeah, well, that's great that, you know, you have those stories. There's I know, like, 3 is kind of like some of people's earliest memories that they actually can remember. Is there actually one that you remember that was your personal memory, or is it still all family stories?
No, still all family stories. You know, I remember being at my father's funeral, you know, that was 1987. That's a memory I have of seeing him, you know, there and in the casket, and touching his face and just, and then being in Jamaica at that time. So that's really one of my earliest memories, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, those that are impactful like that are the ones that sometimes unfortunately stand out. So, you know, this kind of leads me, you know, things have been really going very well without having an agenda here, but I wanted to talk, if you can, maybe talk about the family, because I know there are a lot of family members out there and seems like a lot of the family is very quiet, I would say. You know, you seem to be the one that has the most presence with everything that you're doing. And because of, obviously, for your involvement, you know, in working with all these different entities under your father's legacy, you know, some of the ones we mentioned in the beginning of the program, you know, because I've met a few through different channels. If you could kind of, like, anything you would be willing to talk about, you know, obviously people know of Andrew because he was kind of like the first one to really do music, but I know there's so many more than, you know, than just Andrew and David and, you know, the others. But, you know, I know, and then Peter had brothers and sisters and, you know, and there's some there, you know, like, who is still around? And who is some of the new family?
Well, as far as the Tosh lineage, my father, as I said before, my father had 10 children, 5 girls, 5 boys. And most are very quiet and very shy. Anytime you throw a camera, they're just like, nope. You know, at any concert, they kind of stay together.
Yeah.
I would have to, like, drag them on stage, you know what I mean? They definitely are more so introverts. I'm an introvert myself, but in this capacity, I have to kind of force myself to like step up on the stage and lead things. But we're very close. We have, you know, before the pandemic, we usually get together at least twice a year, you know, and if not more. And then we also, in doing what I do, especially with, like, money involved, you have to be very transparent, you know, and make sure that communication is fluid, you know. And I learned that over time, you know, because it's hearsay, you know, such a big family, so easy for someone to assume, make assumptions, mm-hmm. and it not be the case. And so, you know, I pride myself, and I get really busy, and I have the support of my niece. My father has, I don't know, 40 plus grandchildren. yeah, thank the boys for that.